Hey Grow Girls, you are listening to the Get Up and Grow Girl podcast, hosted by me, your multifaceted manifestation coach, Leela Jasmine Seeley. I have been on a journey from being addicted to the hustle, disconnected from my feminine energy, linking my worth to my productivity, and giving away all of my power to toxic relationships, to manifesting my dream soul-led business, my freedom island lifestyle, my dream partner, and honestly, so much more. So now it's my mission to help you heal and create your "is this freaking real" moments in life. This podcast will guide you on your journey to finding your light, healing your conditioning, and unlocking the power that resides within you. So let's dig in. Welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm here for a really juicy one, a bit of a personal update, a bit of a wild ride, to be honest, to share with you, because a new manifestation has come through, probably our biggest manifestation to date for Kez and I, and it's almost like hard to believe what's actually happening. But as this is all happening, I feel like the journey to get here into what's next for us has been so wild and so crazy. Hey Katie! I haven't even told my friends about it because it's been so overwhelming and we've just been in it. And the journey to what is actually happening now feels so like interesting. So many divine things, so many manifestation lessons, and every single thing led us to this point. And when I moved to Trinidad, we didn't even get a chance to really tell the story. We kept it to ourselves when we knew it was manifesting and we knew we were moving, because we just kind of wanted that to be for us, and we didn't want to bring too many people into such a big manifestation, because, you know, sometimes you want to keep your own energy on it and you don't want to share with too many people. So we kept it to ourselves. And then once we got here and we hit the ground, it just became the wildest ride, honestly, the wildest ride since arriving in Trinidad. And we couldn't even really process it quick enough with what was going on to share what was happening. And now something new is manifesting. So we've been here 6 months and now there's a big change coming. And it's the time to tell the story from beginning to end. And hopefully there's going to be loads of manifestation lessons in here for you and loads of insights on how this really, really works and how you can use it in your own life. But also I'm hoping it's going to be entertainment, because honestly, this is like a freaking movie. Like, grab your popcorn, because you can't write this shit. You really can't. So I want to start at the beginning, which is moving to Trinidad. How did this actually happen? Because I was like, completely didn't share anything about moving until we got here. So I had always had this vision, had this goal of living abroad for a year. It wasn't like a forever thing. I never like necessarily saw myself living abroad forever, but I always wanted to for like a year. I said, I'd love to move somewhere hot, somewhere tropical, maybe near the beach, and just live a different life and get out there and explore and have a real, like, you know, island lifestyle away from home and just live this whole new world. So I'd always said that. And when Kez and I were dating and we'd got to the point where we were starting to get serious and we were having the conversation about like relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, Kez said to me and told me, when we're talking about our expectations and the things we want and if our goals align, he told me that at some point, like, he said, I want to be with you, but at some point I'm going to have to be in Trinidad to do some stuff and to do some business. And like, what are your thoughts on that? Would you want to do long distance? Would you want to come? Like, what are your thoughts? And I was like, well, to be honest, like, I've always said I wanted to do it. I've been building my business to be fully remote. Like, we're getting there. By that time, like, yeah, I'll be down. Like, I would come. And so we were both really happy. We got a relationship. Then it came way sooner than we thought. So we were thinking like probably like end of 2023, maybe even 24. And it ended up that we moved in November 2022. So it all seemed to like align and things started to like work fast. And it felt like, okay, like, he had invested a lot of money in starting a business here. The business with business partners, one of whom was his cousin. And it was getting to the point where he needed to be here and to be able to actually be on the ground and do, you know, help manage the business and do some of the work. So we had decided to move to Trinidad together, and we said, like, let's do a year, maybe two, let's just, but not forever, but let's see how we like it. So this was the plan, and we had booked our flights. And a little thing that I need to tell you now so that you prep you for later is 2 days before we flew, and obviously it was quite overwhelming, it's quite a stressful moving country. 2 days before we flew, Kez's cousin and business partner said to him that one of their business partners had tried to go behind their back and buy the property from the leaseholder that they were using for their business and planning to buy, which was a gas station. So he told him that this has happened, they've gone behind the back, and we were like, oh God, that mixes up like some of this, you know, some of our plans. Like, we were literally flying in 2 days. I'd already moved out of my flat in London months ago and stayed with my parents in their interim. Like, we'd shipped stuff to Trinidad. We were like ready to go. But he was like, you know, that's no problem. We can focus on the other business, because they had multiple. And so we're just going to step back from this business because this guy's like trying to betray us. And basically, like, he wants to buy the property when it's supposed to be the three of us doing it. So that's a little background. So we were like, okay, we've got a plan, we know what we're focusing on, and we came to Trinidad. And I was so excited. It was probably me more so who was just like so ready to go. And Kez is very cautious and he's very taking his time to plan things. And he, like, we initially thought we were gonna go in August and we ended up going in November, because he wanted to make sure everything is good. He didn't want to quit his job in the UK until we're ready to fully go and everything is good. So I'm super excited. And it's been such like a build up of waiting to move. And then we wake up in the morning like 5 a.m. to fly. And it is literally green light after green light. And I remember when we were actually sitting on the plane, I was like, I started crying and I was like, this is so meant to be. Like, I feel like the universe is supporting us and showing us that everything's going to be okay. So we got to the airport. Our bags were over. Like, we ended up having to buy loads more bags before the day of our flight, because we just couldn't fit everything to move abroad into all our bags. So our bags were full. We each had two bags and a little bag. So we paid extra for them, but they were still overweight and we were worried that we're going to have to pay more. And we get there and there's no queue, and it's just machines, you know, where you go up to the machine and you put your bag on and there's no like person. And we did it, and they were overweight and it didn't charge us. They were just a little bit overweight, but it didn't charge us. So we got through fine. Then we had like big hand luggage bags and we weren't sure if they were the right size, but the woman just came up to us like as we were walking through, because there was no queue. I was just like, are these your hand luggage bags? Put a label on them, and was like, go ahead. It was just ridiculously smooth. We got to security, there was no queue for security. It was like everything just felt weirdly easy. And we got on the plane and we had the whole row to ourselves. There was like hardly anyone on the plane. So there was loads of empty seats and empty space, and we just could like stretch out on the seats. And Kez even bumped into someone he knew in the industry from Trinidad, because he's a mixologist, and someone he knew in that industry who wanted his business card and was like, oh, we could do some things. And it just felt like sign after sign after sign that everything is going to be good. But then we landed, and that's where all of that changed. And that's where all of this alignment and everything happening so smoothly and easily, that came to an end. So we meet his cousin at the airport, and, you know, it's all hugs and happy to see each other after a long time. And he drives us back to this house, which I'm in right now. And we walk in, it's this empty house, and he's like, this is my property. And so I'll just let you stay here until we get everything sorted up and running with the businesses, because Kez was expecting to get his share of the money. He'd invested loads of money into this business over time, and all of the shares of the profits so far, plus some business, like, subsidy, if you like, or whatever it's called. He was supposed to get his share of that when we came, and his cousin was supposed to get that ready. But he didn't give it to us that day, so we assumed, like, oh, he said it's got to go to the bank to get it or something. So he puts us in this empty house, and that is his. And when I walk in, like, I didn't know what we were going to walk into, and it's quite nice. It's got an upstairs, it's two bedrooms, so this is my office. It's quite a nice apartment. And so I was just really happy because you don't know what you're going to get, right? And you're moving across the world and you have no idea. And so it's a bit of a risk. So I was just really happy. So I like walked up the stairs. I was like, oh my God, I love it. I want to live here forever. I feel like I manifested that by accident. So he leaves us here. It's an empty house. It's got an airbed and not really anything else. There's no fridge. There's no microwave. There's no toaster, kettle, nothing. And he says he's going to come and get us the next day. So he comes to get us and we're like, right, we need to go and get the money that, you know, Kez's money. We need to get his Trini bank account all sorted again. And we need to get his share of the money in the bank account. We need to sort out this house, furnish it up, et cetera, because we need, you know, we need things to be comfortable. He was like, Leela needs Wi-Fi to run her business. So we need to get this all sorted. And he's like, oh, well, I'm moving you somewhere different tomorrow. That will be, we'll have all that stuff. So you don't need to worry about it. And today I want to like take you to this restaurant because like we can buy this restaurant. And I'm just like, what? Like, why would we be here buying a restaurant? You've got businesses already up and running. And they're in the early stages. They've just started to bring in money. You don't go and buy a new business. Like you let those businesses bring in some money and then you go and buy a business, right? You diversify risk. And no one had ever spoken about a restaurant. Kez didn't know anything about restaurants. So I was like, what the hell is this? Like, you can't just randomly just start a new business. So he drove us to the city and took us to this restaurant and we go into a sales meeting. I've been there less than 24 hours and we're going into a sales meeting with the manager of this business, of this restaurant. And he's saying like, yeah, I want to buy this restaurant. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on? Like, we don't even have a kettle, but you're out here like on our second day. You haven't even got the money for Kez yet. Transferred his to him, but you want to buy a restaurant. It was very weird. And as we were there, my intuition is just popping off and it's like, no. I've only known this guy 24 hours, but I'm instantly like, already like, no, I just don't trust him. Like, my body literally creates a weird feeling when I'm around him. And like I feel repulsed. Like, I feel like I don't want to be around him. And he's in this business meeting and the things that he's asking, like, he hasn't seen any of the figures. He hasn't seen any of the, like, the questions he's asking are nothing to do with business. And so I'm there and they're like, does anyone have any questions? And Kez being like who he is, he's like, Leela, like, do you have any questions? And he gets me involved, even though it's not my thing, but he's respectful like that and he also values my opinion. So I start asking these business questions about like the turnover, about the profit margins, about what kind of customer is it they're having, because the cousin's talking about wanting to buy this restaurant and like completely doing a different style of food. And I'm like, well, do we know that that's going to be popular? Do we know, you know, which type of person comes to this restaurant? What are the figures and all this stuff? And they're like, oh, well, I don't know. You have to speak to the like owner about the figures. I'm just thinking, this is all so weird. Like, why would we go and see about buying a restaurant, which you don't know anything about the figures, a day after Kez has got here to run the businesses that are already established? Super weird. And I'm like, this guy doesn't know anything about business. It really like shocked me, and my intuition, my nervous system is like, this does not feel safe. So we go back home. And as he's leaving to go back to his house, he asks Kez for gas money. And he's like, oh, can I have some money for the gas? And I'm just like, I do not like this, right? I clock this again, something in my gut just makes a weird sensation. And I'm like, I do not like this. Like, he knows that we're here to do business and he hasn't transferred Kez's share of the money yet. And he's asking Kez for gas money after he took us around, you know, to do some weird meeting that we didn't want to do. We're here to like get settled. We're supposed to be buying stuff for our house or whatever. It just felt weird. So my gut was like popping off and being like, that something's not right. The next day he's supposed to come and move us to this house that we said we would go to, and it's a Sunday and he's supposed to be taking us to this new place. But it's like 10 a.m. he's not there. We wait a couple of hours, Kez calls, oh, I'll be a couple more hours. Wait a couple more hours, we call, I'll be a couple more hours. So it's getting later and later in the day and we're in a house where we have no food. We don't have a fridge, we don't have a working oven, we don't have a microwave, we don't have anything. And Kez is waiting on the money that he's owed for his part of the business, and we still don't have it. So we just had a bit of cash that we got out at the airport, and we ended up like using it because we thought we were, you know, we would end up going around these places. He ends up asking us for gas money and whatever, and we end up using our cash. But the shop that we go, that we can walk to, the only shop we can walk to from our property, because we don't have a car, we don't have anything, we're reliant on this cousin, does not accept our UK cards. So obviously we've got money on our cards, but we can't access it. There's no ATM in walking distance. We're in the middle of nowhere. We don't have food. So we're just like stressing, and we don't have Wi-Fi, nothing. So we end up going and meeting up with Kez's brother, and we don't say anything. Like, I think for Kez, like, he doesn't want to, he's just come back after not seeing his family for years. He's come from the UK. It's kind of like image that people expect when you come from the UK. And then all this stuff is going wrong, and I think that probably he's embarrassed. He doesn't say anything to family. And we managed to get like some bits of food with his brother. His brother offers us food like when we go to his, and we end up like going to a place where we can get a bit of food. And the next day, so we have lunch, and then it's evening. He still hasn't come, and he says that like, he's going to come tomorrow instead. But we don't have anything. So that night, we're starving. We're just eating like what we have that we could get from the shop, like toast. And he's coming the next day to get us. So the next day, we're waiting all day. We're in a foreign country that we've just arrived in. We've got no cash, no car to get anywhere, no access to get to the ATM, no facilities to cook, an empty house, no TV, nothing. We're just sitting there thinking we came here to start a new life, and we're like stranded. And it was the most stressing feeling on my nervous system, just like not being able to even feed yourself. Like we didn't starve, but we were really hungry. We're just eating like crackers that we had in our bag from the plane, and we weren't eating a proper meal. And he's supposed to come the next morning. He doesn't arrive until 3 p.m., by which point we are both absolutely starving, like stomachs growling. We've eaten everything that we can eat. And he takes us to the shop. Kez sits him down and has a talk with him about, you know, this isn't how it's supposed to go. We've come here to do business, and you're supposed to be looking after us, and I need the money that you owe me. You know, I need my share of the business. And there's supposed to be a business account with all the money in that he's supposed to be transferring the money from. And it's all just like, you know, crazy. So he sits him down and has a stern word. And then he takes us to the grocery store. We buy all our groceries and we're paying. And he comes over to the till, and he puts down some packets of crisps and some biscuits. And he's like, gestures to me and to Kez like, oh, get this for me for gas, please. And I like literally almost lose it. So I just look at Kez, like my eyes bulging that he's left us for like 2 days without food. He hasn't transferred the money that like is Kez's share of the business. And he's left us in an empty house. And he's asking us to pay for gas money for like picking us up and taking us where he was supposed to have already. So I get pissed off, and then he walks away because he can tell I'm pissed off. So we go back home, we've got food now, but we're feeling like, when is this money coming through? Because we're supposed to move. We're just staying in this place like for a couple of days. We haven't been able to get Wi-Fi or furniture or anything because one, we're not supposed to be staying here. And two, we don't want to buy all this furniture and stuff until we get the money that we were owed, because that was what we had planned as our pot to spend some of it on furnishing out our house. So for the next like a couple of weeks probably, Kez and I just have a load of like crying conversations, because I'm just like, my gut is just like, I do not like this guy. And the more we go around with him, we still don't have the money, but he keeps taking us, driving us to different places. Sometimes he takes us to a place we need to go, like to see Kez's family. But sometimes he's driving us around random, doing random businessy things. And we're in the car with him loads. And my gut is just screaming at me. Like, I'm just like, this doesn't feel right. And this guy, like, something is not right. And my gut is literally screaming at me. And just all the things that I talk about, like wounded masculine energy, he says he'll do one thing, he does another. Like, he leaves us in this house where we're brand new in Trinidad with no food. He says he'll pick us up and take us to get food, and he doesn't come. Like, it's such unreliable energy, and it was so triggering. And I was like, this guy, like, we cannot trust him. And I was saying to Kez, you can't do business with someone who is in wounded masculine energy and is doing everything from the ego. And he would often go to these business meetings like the stupid restaurant meeting with Kez, who's his business partner, and say like, I'm going to buy this and I'm the business owner. And he would, it was just very like, not someone who you would want to trust to go into business with. So I'm like saying all this, and we're having, me and Kez are having loads of conversations where we're both, I'm crying, I'm saying like, I don't trust him. And he's like, I know this isn't how I expected it to go either, but like, you know, he's my cousin and we've done all this together and we've built these businesses. And he takes on board what I'm saying, but of course, a part of him, he's moved country to do business. He's invested loads of money, like his whole savings basically, into these businesses. Part of him wants this to work, right? And he can't just be like, okay, I'll just let it go, like start all over again. So he takes on board what I'm saying, but part of him wants this to be right. So we get more and more harsh and stern on this cousin, and Kez is more and more stern and is like, you know, I'm starting to not trust you. And the cousin's like, no, no, no. And talking, you know, in circles, and is like offended that he doesn't trust him. And so they start planning to go to the bank together. But every single time they plan to go to the bank together, something happens. He calls and says his car broke down, or he had to go here and pick up someone, or he had to go there. And this, by now, we've been in the country for a month without getting that money that we were obviously counting on. And we both had, you know, our own businesses, but we had planned, like, we're not digging into our business money to furnish up a house and stuff. Like, we plan that this money's coming in and this is what we're going to do with it. So we're just sitting ducks. We're just literally in this new country, completely just dependent on this other person who is not coming through with any of the things that they were supposed to do for us. They were supposed to get us a house that was furnished and set up. And I wanted to decorate it properly, but we needed the basics. But instead, we got an empty house with an airbed. And we were supposed to get all this money that is Kez's money so we can go about doing things by ourselves. And he didn't come through with that either. So we are completely stuck in limbo. And every time we plan, or Kez plans to go to the bank with him, some story comes up. And it is feeling like a freaking Netflix documentary. It's feeling like the Tinder Swindler, where I completely understand how they feel now. You're just in a spiral and you're just like, I do not know what to do. And especially me, like, I didn't have any control because I'm brand new in this country. I'm kind of completely reliant on Kez. And Kez is completely reliant on his cousin at this point. And we're just stranded. Asha, hey Asha, she says, sorry to hear all this. Yeah, it was crazy, but it gets better. So stay for the end. It was very, very scary. And Kez was feeling a lot of feels as well. Like, he was feeling guilty about all that this is happening. And this isn't what he wanted for me to experience, like, his country. And he wanted to bring me here and for us to have an amazing time and to show me around and to introduce me to all his family. And we'd done a little bit of that, but we didn't even have a car. We were relying on him to take us everywhere. And he was supposed to be taking us to, like, pick up our license and all of this stuff. So it was just like a very, very sticky situation where we felt trapped and we felt like we have no way of getting out of this. We are reliant on him. But the more time that went on, we just had so many, like, it was a real strengthening of our relationship kind of time. And it wasn't what we expected. We thought we'd get here and be in honeymoon mode, but instead we were here in, like, survival mode. And we had to have so many deep conversations and, you know, talking about all this stuff and trust. There was issues with trust. Like, I had put a lot of trust into coming here and it wasn't his fault, but there were parts of it that obviously is his responsibility and it just hadn't come through. Asha says she's not leaving on this clip. Yes, it's worth it. Stay till the end. It's wild. Honestly, I can't believe some of this stuff happened now in hindsight. So we're just not sure what to do. So we come up with a plan, Kez and I. I'm like, every time he says we're going to go to the bank, something happens, his car breaks down, whatever, whatever. So we don't get to go and we don't get to get the money that you're owed so we can actually move on and create a life here. We are literally stuck. So let's create a plan where we get Kez's dad, because by now we've told Kez's dad all about this and he's like trying to help us. And we get his dad to come to go and pick up the cousin, bring them to our house, because we're also in a house that's far away from his family. Like, he's put us somewhere where we're isolated from the family. We're really far away. We're about an hour drive and we don't have a car yet. So Kez's dad is trying to fix up a car for us that he was meant to give to Kez, but it's all broken and so many different parts moving that are keeping us stuck. So we have this plan and we're thinking, if Kez's dad goes and picks him up and then brings him to us and takes him to the bank, there's no way that it can't work. There's no excuse he can make because we're literally carrying him there. And so this is all planned. And then he calls and he's like, oh, I'm not going to be at the house because I had to go and do something. So don't pick me up, but I'll meet you there. And we're just like, I'm straight away like, I can't go on like this. Like, how long are we going to live in this limbo? I don't even have Wi-Fi at this point. And my business obviously is online. It needs to run off of Wi-Fi. So I'm doing everything on my iPhone data and uploading lives, everything. And it's stressful. And I was hotspotting. And then my hotspot got blocked because I didn't realize you're not supposed to hotspot. So I'm trying to run my business. And it's all dependent on, like, once we know where we're staying, then we can get Wi-Fi. But to know where we're staying, we need to get the money and know what's going on with the businesses. And this guy is not coming through. And he is weaving a web that is just so does not feel right. So I'm just like, what is going on? Like, when we wanted to come here, my dad sat Kez down and they had a deep conversation. And we're like, you know, if we look at taking my daughter, there's certain things that she's going to need. And it was actually really sweet that my dad, like, it was like inner child healing that he took my business so seriously that he was like, she needs to be able to do her business. Because he never would necessarily say it to my face, but he said it to Kez. So it was quite nice to realize, like, hey, he values what I do. And the main thing was, like, Wi-Fi. The first week we need to get Wi-Fi. And we had tried, but we couldn't because we were not staying here. Like, we're just literally in his property. He doesn't even answer. This guy wasn't answering his phones. He was, like, so hard to get in contact with. Because obviously, as you'll soon see, he was doing some dodgy shit. So it was triggering. And he managed to get out of this bank thing. So his dad comes all the way here and then we call him and like, right, we're on the way to the bank. And he's like, oh, something happened with my car again. So he's, by now I'm like, he's avoiding it. And everyone is like, his dad, everyone is like, yeah, if the money was there, he would not be resisting going to the bank. And we all had this feeling in the pit of our stomach, like, I think that he's taken all of your money, Kez. Like, I think that you have invested all this money in a business and he's probably used it all. He's probably, like, all of your profits, he's probably used. All of the money that you're owed, he's probably used, because why would he not be giving it to us? By now we've been in the country a month. So we're stuck in limbo. We don't know what to do. We don't know whether we can get Wi-Fi. We don't know what is going on. And we were meant to move into another property once we got our money, but the money still hasn't come in. So it's just literally like the lowest it can be. We're just in this house with an airbed by ourselves with nothing, just like trying to be strong and trying to also manifest and think positive thoughts and whatever, and do all of our, like, I'm trying to do all the journaling and stuff, but I already know in my gut that this is not right. So Kez has a gut feeling. One day I'm upstairs, I'm trying to do some work, and he has a gut feeling, and he calls the old business partner who I said at the beginning, the cousin, let's call the cousin Armpit. I think it's justified. Let's call the cousin Armpit. And before we moved here, remember a couple of days before our flight, he tells us that the third business partner is gone behind their back and is trying to buy out the gas station. And so, like, they're gonna, like, ice him out and leave him to do it. Like, he can do that. We're not getting involved in this. We can't trust him. So we're not gonna do that business. We're gonna focus on our other business because they have multiple. And Kez has seen all of the, like, he's seen proof of the businesses. He's spoken to, like, the people doing business with him. Like, it's all, obviously he didn't just fly here. So Kez's cousin Armpit has told him that this person's gone behind our back before we even flew here. But one day Kez gets a gut feeling as we're in the middle of this drama, and he calls that business partner because he hadn't even spoken to him since, because obviously he believes he's gone behind his back, betrayed them, so they're not working with him anymore. He trusts his cousin, as you think you would trust family. And he speaks to him and he's on the phone. I remember, like, coming up next to him, like, just knowing, sensing that this conversation, like, it's not good news. And basically this person was telling Kez what had been going on and said, no, that's not true. I didn't buy the gas station. I didn't try and do that. And he's like, the same story. Armpit, nearly said the name, owes me all of this money. He keeps, like, saying he's going to give it to me and I haven't got it yet. and like he had an operation and he you know had surgery and he hasn't been able to work and he hasn't been able to get the money that is owed to him, and it's been really difficult. And the same thing of like, I call him, he doesn't answer, he says he's bringing it, he never brings it, and it's the exact same story. And they figure out like that there's many of the lies, like they both been told a different thing, and we basically realize that the whole thing is a lie. Every single thing is a lie. And what happened with the gas station was the owner of the gas station said that he would not work with Armpit because Armpit was untrustworthy. He thought he stole some things, some shelves from the property, and basically like he would not work with him. So Armpit lied to Kez and told him that someone's gone behind their back and that's why they're not doing it anymore. The real reason was that Kez's cousin had basically been banned from being there, and because of his dodgy business that he'd been doing, and he just tried to like cover his tracks and tell Kez that it's someone else did this. Yes, Asha says triangulation, exactly. He was on the ground, he was in Trinidad, Kez is in the UK, this other guy is like an associate of Armpit, and he's also in Trinidad. So what Armpit did was get in between the two and tell this person one thing and this person another thing, and he used Kez's trust basically like against him. So it all like comes to a head, and we realize that this is not going to work. These businesses, they're not going to happen, because they had been up and running, and there was multiple businesses. Like there was even like a quarry where you're getting sand and selling this raw material, and they'd made money from it. But even when we were in the UK, Kez got a call about them not being paid on time, and the quarry workers weren't paid on time, and he was shocked, but he didn't realise, like, it was always a story, a twisted story. He didn't realise that it was his cousin Armpit doing this. So basically all of the businesses that were up and running, like, they didn't want to work with them anymore because of the behaviour of Armpit and the scamming. Essentially, he was scamming. He was, like, stealing things from properties, business properties. He was taking money off Kez and this other guy and always calling. I remember him calling in the UK when... It's like, you know, we've run into this problem and we all need to put down this much to overcome this problem. Kez would send the money and he would spend the money. He wouldn't pay the people. And so businesses all basically shut down or paused or kicked him out. And the money, we don't know what happened to it, but it wasn't there. So it got to the point where we realized that there was no bank account. It was supposed to be a bank account where all this money was coming into, and he was just waiting to transfer it to Kez. And it actually didn't exist. So the reason he was not available to go to the bank and kept, like, we would be about to go to the bank and he wouldn't turn up or something, is because imagine if he'd walked in there and there's no bank account and it would have all been exposed. So we realised that everything has crashed around us. Everything we thought we were coming here for is not happening. Like, his business forecasts were very good. It was going to be a lot of success, a lot of money, a comfortable life. All of it was crashing down. And again, like, I was running my business, so it's not like we didn't have any income, but the way I'd set up my investments, I always like invested a lot in development, in my coaching. Like, I was not planning to come here and start a whole life and pay, you know, like for a nice house and all this stuff, and like there was no way that was going to happen. So we were just like, what are we going to do now? And the funny thing is, like, the whole time with the business, even when we were back in England, it was like, you know, wholesale business, gas station and quarry. It was all very much like, I don't know how to put it, like, not necessarily creative businesses, just like very like, I don't know how to put it, like, necessary businesses. I kept getting these inklings, like, typical me, you know me, like, never really able to switch off the coach side of me. I was just thinking, like, babe, this is the opposite to your human design. Like, your human design strategy is like, he's a generator, so it's to respond to the sacral and like to what lights you up. And I was like, he's such a talented mixologist and he's done really well in mixology. Like, back here in Trinidad, he won loads of awards. He's well known for it. I was kind of like, why are you pursuing these businesses? Like, do they light you up? And I know it was he was searching for stability, and I guess that was a paradigm. We've since spoken about that. These businesses would give him stability that mixology wouldn't. So I'm trying not to micromanage, but the whole time I'm like, this doesn't seem to be, like aligned. And when this all crashed down, I kept thinking, I knew that it wasn't going to, I just knew something wasn't right. I knew this was against everything I know about how he creates success based on his human design. But I wasn't trying to micromanage. So we say we want all of the money back. We say we know that there's no business. We don't believe you. And we want all of the money that Kez has given you back. And it's days before Christmas and we're in an empty house, right? We still haven't got anything because we thought every single day we're thinking the next day we're getting the money and we're moving out. So we don't even plan, like, let's stay here. And it's days before Christmas and we still don't have that money. And he's saying, I'm going to drop it. I'm going to drop it tomorrow. And then Christmas Day comes and he never does. So we're just left here, like, really not the Christmas we expected. Just living in an empty house, completely stressed, going through this trauma, basically, of having huge betrayal and all of our safety taken away from us. Asha says, opening a business bank account in Trinidad is really difficult because of all the red tape. Yes. Armpit. I love how everyone's calling him Armpit now. Armpit stood no chance because his whole business was shady. Exactly. So in hindsight, we both felt stupid and we've both done a lot of like Kez, especially obviously it was his business, has done a lot of like reflection on what led us to get that far and to believe it. But I guess it's like family. Like, you would never think that family would do that to him, someone he grew up with. So I guess it's like turn a blind eye maybe to some of the red flags that I was feeling because I didn't know this person. And as soon as I met him, the energy was off. But I guess it's trust. I guess it was like blind trust for a cousin. So thank you, Asha. She says, no need to feel stupid. Like, of course you would trust family. So we said we want all the money back. He didn't give it to us before Christmas. In January, I think his brother did call him up and say some scary words because he met up with Kez and gave him checks for all of the money, but they were backdated checks, so we couldn't cash them for another month. So again, we're continuing to stay in limbo because I think if we knew it's not coming back, we could get on with things. But it was this sense of like, we don't know yet. Like, is it still going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Like, we just didn't know what to do. And I remember I'd had a big crying breakdown saying I wanted to go home, but then I didn't really want to go home. Like, something in my gut was telling me not to go home and it didn't feel right. Like, I was obviously stressed and upset about everything, but I didn't want to go home. So we didn't know what we're doing. He gives us these checks backdated. We have to wait a month until we can check the first one. So we're in limbo for that month, still not knowing what to do. Kez puts in the checks and they bounce. They all bounce. There is not enough money in the account that he put them from for it to go in. And basically they're considered fraudulent checks. So all of the money that Kez is owed does not come through after us waiting. Now we've been in the country for 3 months. They all bounce. And this is fraud in Trinidad. This is considered fraud. So it's actually something that is punishable by law. So we're now like, right, well, perhaps, you know, we've got him. If we want to press charges, we can press charges starting with that. During this time, though, the other side of this is obviously Kez is heartbroken. Like, he's heartbroken because he left his life in the UK where he was earning money and sending money to family and, you know, supporting. He's got children, supporting his children. And he's come here intending to give everyone a better life, not just me and him. Not just his kids, but also his wider family. Like, he wants to empower all his siblings. He wants to give them work at the businesses. He wants to be able to help. And it's all fallen around him. And he's heartbroken and he's lost. And he's dealing with, you know, feeling guilty. And he's dealing with shame of his decisions. And he's dealing with anger at being betrayed. And, like, he didn't really show any of this emotion for a long time until, like, of course, there was one night. And I felt like I was kind of being a bit like, obviously, I was like, this is serious and you need to recognize where you went wrong because you need to not do this again. So somewhat I was being a bit hard on him, obviously trying to just make sure that like we learn from it. But, and then one night, like, he did break down, of course, under the pressure of all of this. And he was just feeling like he's in a void of nothing. And to me though, it's horrible, but it feels so similar to what happened to me when COVID hit. That my whole business got taken away overnight. It was fully gym-based, fully in-person weightlifting, something I couldn't translate online with no notice. And I lost all my income overnight. And I felt completely like I was going. I was right close to my dream. My business was building. I was hiring staff to work with me, other PTs. And overnight, it just all came crashing down when we went into lockdown. But that for me was divine redirection. And it got me to the point where I started my online coaching business that I'd always wanted, which gave me the freedom to move abroad. And I think it was part of the reason that Kez and I met also, because I was around the area where I'd always see him and he'd always wave. So I felt like it's divine redirection. And even though it's so hard, I was like, babe, this is spiritual. This is something that it's like the goddess of chaos. Like she comes and she will destroy everything to build something new. And I always say there's a few ways your life can change when you want to manifest big, juicy things. You can either take one small step at a time and step by step by step, and you'll gradually get there, and it probably will take a long time. Or you can pick up your snow globe and shake it and everything goes everywhere and it's all a mess. But then when the snow settles, it settles in a completely different way and you end up in a completely different place. And that's what happened to me. And it seemed that to me, it seemed like that was what's happening to Kez. And it was crazy because it was really emotional, actually, that it made me feel like I'm meant to be here. And it made me feel like on a deeper level, like I was meant to go through that and I was meant to lose my business, because like I have literally been where my boyfriend is now, and I can help him, and I've been there. I know how to get through it. And I also know a wider perspective of this isn't the end, but this could be a redirection if we allow it. And so it was like, it was a lot of mix of emotions. Like it was really heavy and sad, but it was also like really emotional. I felt like I am so supported. Like I have always, or not always, but in the last few years been spiritual ever since COVID. But when this happened, it really like just cemented my belief that, you know, everything is happening for a reason. And I just felt like there's no way this was a coincidence. Asha says, I had no idea you'd had that divine redirection. Yeah. Crazy stuff. So, oh my God, pronoia. I love the word pronoia. You are such my person, Asha. Like, you're so understanding everything I'm saying. She said, such a pronoia moment, opposite of paranoia. The world was conspiring for your favor. Yes, I literally say that as an affirmation. I'm like, pronoia, like the world is always conspiring for my benefit. That's so funny. I love that you know that and that, like, you would say that. So we're basically at that point where the universe has us on our knees for the second time. Like for me, I was on my knees when COVID happened and it took my business, but this is the second time. And you know me, like, I guess I step into coach mode a little bit. And it's funny because I was always into the feminine energy and I still teach this, but it really taught me a lesson about that and changed the way I teach as well. Because, you know, it's not about always you have to let the man always make the choice. You always have to sit back, like, at the end of the day, you have to be your authentic self. And this was teaching me that it's okay to step forward if I feel I can help. Like, we have to have a relationship where we can both take it in turns to lead and sometimes the other one leads. So I said to him, like, what does your sacral say? What does your sacral say now? Because everywhere we went, from the day we landed in Trinidad, even when this was all going on, even when Armpit was driving us around, everywhere we went, we would bump into someone that Kez knew. And they'd be like, oh, Kez, the mixologist. Like, they all knew him from the mixology industry. And they'd be like, oh, you know, I might need you to help me with this project I'm doing. I might need you to help. I'm working in this restaurant. I might need help. We need our cocktails we're doing. We need staff training. We need, like, whatever. They all would be like to him, yeah, I need something. And he'd be like, okay, well, I'm not really here to do that. I'm here to do business, other business, right? Because he thought he was. But he'd take their cards and stuff. But not really think anything of it. And again, me in the background the whole time thinking, like, you're a generator, you're here to respond, the universe is bringing you people to respond to. Like, as a generator, you're not meant to go and force and say, can I do this for you, can I do that? It's supposed to, like, things are supposed to kind of come at you and you respond. And it was like the universe was not being subtle. It was bringing all these people towards him about mixology, but obviously he had a path in mind and wasn't necessarily seeing it. So when everything is crashed to the ground, I'm like, what does your sacral say? And the other thing is, I'm pretty sure he has a 4 in his profile. He doesn't know his exact time, so I had to run loads of different charts. But from knowing him and from looking at the charts, I think the most aligned one is a 4 profile, which means that all of your opportunities come to you through people you know, through your existing network. And that is Kez to a T. To a T. Everything that has ever come through for him is someone he knew, and it leads him to an opportunity. And he's just saying that he gives opportunities to people in his network. So whereas I, like, I'll have a stranger reach out to me in the DMs and they'll become my client. And that happens all the time. But for him, it's like, it's all through the people he knows. So I'm like, what does your sacred say? What does your sacred say? And I'm like, isn't it weird that all these people keep coming up in your, like, and ask you about mixology? Like, what does your sacral say when they do that? So we're kind of planting seeds, and I'm like, maybe this is a redirection, because what you love and what you said, like he said to me that we're going to come here, do these businesses, make good money. And then I was like, what's your dream? I would always be like, forget the money. Like, what's your dream? Like, what's your soul aligned vision? Because you can't just do something for the money, because it won't bring you fulfillment. Like, you should have money and fulfillment. And he was like, well, to be honest, like, I'd like to start like my own bartending school, or maybe a training program, or like bar. I want to do something mixology. So I was like, maybe this is the universe again showing you that you think I have to build up and build all this money and then do it. It's taken it all away from you, because maybe you're supposed to do that now. And it's the same thing with me. I wanted to be a life coach. I was already a life coach, but I wasn't selling any of my life coaching, because I had a belief that I have to be older and wiser, and I'll wait till my PT business is like a multi six figure business when I have all these different PTs, then I'll step back, live off that income, and start my life coaching business. And the universe just said no, basically said that's not how it's going to be. Like, it's going to happen a different way. And it took everything away, and I was forced to start it, and it wasn't the glamorous way I thought I would start it. I had to build it from the ground up, but it got me here, right? So I felt like, again, he's going through the same thing I went through, just like 2 years later, 2-3 years later. So he's like thinking on all of that. And I've been like, I want to go home. And he's like, yeah, I want to go back to England. If it carries on like this, I just want to go back. And so we talked to my parents, and we're like, maybe we want to come home this summer. Like, we're going to, you know, try and stick it out and get everything settled, but we want to come home. We don't want to be here after all that we've been through. And then we say this, but the next day we wake up and we're both like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right to just leave like this. We were like, let's make the absolute most of the time that we have here. Let's make the most of our time left. Let's stop living in survival mode, because we weren't really going out and doing much, because one, like, I guess, like, probably Kez was going through a depression after all he'd been through. And I wasn't feeling safe here. I didn't feel settled. I didn't know what was going on. And we didn't know when the money was coming. So we were like kind of living just in survival mode and living in waiting mode. But we decide, let's stop that. Let's change that. Let's start living now as if we are where we want to be. And I was like, you know, manifestation, we need to embody it. I was like, let's stop living in survival mode, because we're just creating more of it. Let's get out there. Let's go. Let's do nice things. Let's go to the beach. Let's go. Let's not worry. Let's use the money we do have and that we are earning to go and do those things, because we cannot live like this in this energy. And we can obviously be sensible about it, but we're not living like this anymore. And actually, that was like 2 days later, Asha, if you're still here, that we went on the hike with you guys and we met some friends. So we made some friends on TikTok, and we met our friends Kiki and Luke, and they introduced us to you, Asha, and to like a load of other really nice people. And that was my favorite day in Trinidad at that point so far. Like, we went on a beautiful hike, we were in nature. It just felt like the heaviness was lifting. So we started to live as if, we started to embody, we started to consciously decide not to be in survival mode anymore. Kez started to, he was not into this before, he started to meditate every day. Every morning he started to do meditations designed to feed his subconscious mind with affirmations to do with business and entrepreneurship. We both started embodying, living in energy, talking differently to each other. We adopted a different identity. And despite all of this going on, January, February, March, and it was February that we came on the hike, and that was the February when we decided, let's make the most of this. Let's live in a different energy. So January, February, March, what I made in my business was an increase of 400% in sales versus that time last year. So it was crazy. Like, it was like everything's up in the air. We're living in an empty house. But yet my manifestations, because my big manifestation from end of last year was like growth in business, it still came through. All the things I'd written down about what it would mean for me, like what kind of growth would mean for me in business, what I would want to happen, how many sessions I'd want to do, what kind of people I'd work with, how much money I'd have in my bank account. It all came through despite this crazy shit going on. So it was just wild. Like, we have these beliefs that, you know, I have to be high vibe all the time to manifest. And that's not true, because we weren't high vibe. We were crying a lot. Like, we were down a lot, but my overall identity was still shifting because I was still doing the identity work. I was still working on my paradigm. I was still creating these beliefs. And so when I thought, and you would think that everything's going to go shit, like so much shit had happened. Yeah, I was still able to grow my business and in my income, like obviously the two go hand in hand. But it was just like the opposite of what you're taught about manifestation is that, you know, when you feel good, good things will happen. Actually, we weren't feeling good. We were feeling a lot of the feels, but we were feeling into, I was still doing all the work that I teach. I didn't let that go, but I would still cry and feel. And I think it's important that you feel and get out the heavy emotions. But my manifestations were coming through. So he then, having adopted this new identity himself, starts getting these opportunities in mixology, and he sort of follows up on some of the people that had contacted him and wanted him to do stuff in mixology. And he gets an interview for a job at a bar. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm worried and I get triggered. And I'm like, we're in this country, we're in this kind of empty house. By now we started to use money that, you know, I was making more money and buy stuff for the house. And it's raining, but I hope you can still hear me. And buy things, and we're starting to like deck out the house, and we just decided until like we get the money back, we're just gonna settle here because, you know, like we can't just live like this forever. So we just started to like create the house and everything. But I was like, where we're living is like not in the center, it's not in the capital city, and it's not in the coast by the beach, it's just in the middle of a town. So like it's not a place where I can just go out the house by myself. There's not really anywhere you can walk, it's not parks, it's nothing like that. It's like busy like town, but it's all driving and it's not the safest of areas. So I'm feeling like if you now go and work 9 to 5 away, then I'm stuck in the house and I can't even like, I used to leave the house every day. I used to go on a walk at least twice a day. And I love getting out and about. I love working in Starbucks and being around and just like going and sitting by the river in London. I loved my life in London. I didn't leave because I didn't like it. I just wanted a new adventure. And I was like, if you get this job, I'm going to be stuck. I'm going to feel stuck here. And I moved country and I've been with you and we've gone through all of this and I'm just going to be stuck here. Like, I worked for myself and created this life and manifested this life for a reason, so I can have freedom. I don't want to work, like live a life where I'm miserable all day and I just wait for the weekend. That is not what I'm here for. So I'm worried about it, but I'm also like, well, he needs to get a job. Like after everything he's been through, not only does he need it for money, he needs it for his mental health. So I'm torn. Asha says, I would have never been able to tell you were going through all of this when we met. Oh, your energy was so positive. Thank you. That means a lot. That means a lot. Yeah, but the day that like we met up was like, it was needed. It was healing. I was happy to be there. Like it was really good. And it probably helped with my energy. So he gets the offer. He gets the job offer for this job, which would mean that he is out of the house a lot. And like, it's not really the life I wanted, that if he's not here with the car, he can't take me to Starbucks, wherever. And I'm just kind of stuck in the house and I feel like a expat's wife who's just kind of here existing. And I'm not too sure about that, but he gets the job and obviously I'm like, he needs this. But the universe intervenes again. And the same day, he gets offered a consultancy mixology job. So he gets offered something better, something that would be him working as his own boss. But before that happened, he got offered the job and I say to him, what does your sacral say? And I say, what would the version of you living the life that you want do? What would your higher self do over your scared self, over your fear? And at this point, he hasn't got the call yet about the consultancy, but he's like, I didn't come here to be an employee again. Like I came here to do something different. I wanted to build, I wanted to move up. I wanted to be my own boss. And like, you know, what do I do? So I'm just like, what does your sacral say? What does your sacral say? So he thinks on it for a day. And he then gets a call about a consultancy job in mixology, which would be like, he gets to do menu design, cocktail design, training, instead of just working as a bartender, which is obviously a slight step down. I feel like the best bit is coming up, guys. I'm hoping it's what I think it's going to be, Lila. Yeah, I think it is what you think it's going to be, Katie. The best bit is coming. Can't actually believe what a whirlwind this story is. I've forgotten like what I'm going to tell you, which is incredible. I hope those that you listen to the podcast can like follow this, but I hope you also get how hard it is to tell this story. Like, it's such a crazy story. So he gets a call about a consultancy job. So he rejects the 9-to-5. And this is a moment of manifestation. This is a moment of him embodying a higher version of himself. He is someone that has always chose security, and he needed to, because he didn't grow up having like everything easy. He didn't, you know, he grew up like when he was a little kid, like going to get water and picking up water and not having like a house with water and everything in it. Like, security has been his biggest thing, and stability. But in that moment, he rejected the 9-to-5 job. Before, there was like a contract on the consultancy job. And a few days later, the contract gets signed and he gets this consultancy job. So he's working at a small bar as a consultant, his hours, whatever. And he's training staff, he's designing all the cocktails, he's doing what he is really good at doing. And at a level he hasn't done it before, at a higher level. So he's doing this job, and that's great, because it means my parents are coming about a week later. He's not going to be at work all the time and not going to spend time with us. We all, the four of us, we get to have the best time ever. We basically have an amazing time. We go all around Trinidad, different areas. We do amazing things. They meet the kids. They have a great time meeting the kids. They meet Kez's family. We visit Tobago for the first time, because we'd never been to Tobago. Obviously, with all that going on, wasn't really our priority. And as soon as we get off the plane, I am literally like, wow, like I just feel the energy of Tobago is so different from especially where we are in Trinidad. And I'm like, this energy. And when we get, sorry, that's a lizard. When we get to where we're staying in the hotel, villa, I say to Kez, like, this is what I want our time to be like. Like, I'm standing overlooking the sea and I'm like, this is what I like envisioned about moving somewhere like this. Like, this is what I wanted. This is like, I feel at peace. I feel I'm in nature. Where we are here is like we're in a flat and I'm overlooking a car park. And like, yeah, there is trees. It's a green country. But I feel I spend less time in nature here than I did back home, because I would get out and walk every day. And here, there's no pavements. There's nowhere to walk. It's not somewhere I could just go and walk by myself either. And when I've gone just to the corner shop, like, it's different. It's different vibes here. Like, it's not, it's quite as common for a woman to walk around on her own where we are anyway. So it's different and it doesn't feel free. And that's what I imagine was being in nature, being able to walk down to the beach or walk anywhere. It's just trees and it's like comfortable and there's not many cars around. You feel safe. So it's an amazing time in Tobago. And where we're staying, like, there's an amazing guy that is the owner of the property. And he's just an amazing guy, like an amazing energy, someone we really get on with. And you end up chatting a lot about business, and he like has loads of ideas and wants to sort of collaborate or partner up in business with Kez for mixology. And he has some ideas. He tries his cocktails and he's like, they're amazing. He's like, you know, if you ever want to bottle this, or he's got other ideas, all kinds of ideas. And he's someone who is a successful person who has the means to also do these kind of things, not like armpit. So it's amazing. And he connects with me and we discuss a lot of opportunities to collaborate on like wellness coaching and my holistic coaching for maybe guests that he has there. So it feels such an amazing like experience, and it just feels like super aligned and like we're meant to be there. We come back home. We leave my parents in Tobago because they stay a little longer. And when we get home, I just start crying and I just break down. And I realize that all the excitement of like my business growing and us kitting out our house here and our lives getting better here and deciding to get out and enjoy it, and then the excitement of my mum and dad coming, that I've kind of swept something under the carpet, because actually in the day to day, I realize that my life here, where we are now in this part of Trinidad that we're in, isn't making me happy beyond that. Like, I've been happy, I've not been unhappy, but I've been throwing myself into the things I can be happy about, my business, my parents coming. But that when they leave, like, I realize like the day to day here is not making me happy, because I'm stuck in this house and I can't go out by myself. And again, like, I know some people live for the weekend, but that's not what I'm here for. I'm a manifestation coach. I'm not here to live for the weekend. Like, the reason I do what I do is because back in London, I would just roam around. I would go and sit and work by the river. I'd go and work in that coffee shop. I would just walk all around. Like, I would spend every day like it was an adventure. And here I found that my business was keeping me going because it was thriving, but the rest, the lifestyle I had, wasn't for me. And I was really broke down. I was feeling so depressed. And when my mom and dad actually leave, like, it hits me harder. Because they left, you know, we were at home, they were in Tobago, they came back the next day, I'd cried, then we got over it because they were back, just moved on. I didn't want to tell them how I was feeling because I knew that they'd be sad. So when they leave, though, it hits me, and I'm feeling really depressed, actually. And that's probably the first time I felt like that in a few years, like the first time I felt that low. Because I'm like, it's been a fun 6 months, don't get me wrong, like, I would not take back the 6 months that we've had in Trinidad. Like, we've done amazing things, we've gone and visited beautiful beaches, and we've gone on amazing hikes, and we've met amazing people, and I've got to meet his family and his children, and like, the relationship we have is so much better than I could have imagined. So it's been amazing, but I realize, like, this isn't what I want, though, for my life. Like, I want freedom and independence. And I realize this because Kez gets told that he has a meeting in Tobago. He had a meeting when we were there in Tobago. The person who he did the consultancy job for recommended him for a job at a hotel in Tobago, consultancy job. So he had an initial meeting, and they fly him out for another meeting. And he's supposed to fly out in the morning and come back in the evening, so I'll just be here by myself in the daytime. But then they call and they say they made a mistake, and they booked him a flight on the Wednesday and to come back on the Thursday. So I realize I'm going to be here by myself for 2 days, because fly Wednesday morning, come back Thursday evening. And I just start crying. And I'm just like, it made me realize that I have no independence and no freedom here. And although, like, going out to glamorous beaches on the weekends and we're doing amazing things and we've been focusing on the positive, the truth is that's not what I want for myself. That if he's in Tobago, I cannot leave the house. And if he's in Tobago, I can't go anywhere without him. And I realized, like, if I was home, I would call my friends. I haven't, like, I miss my friends. And I'd be like, Katie, like, do you want to come over? Do you want to stay with me? Like, can I come visit you? Or can I go meet that friend in London or whatever? Like, I would make the most of those 2 days. I'd be like, I'm going to go on a shopping trip. Like, now I'm making more money than I made when I was in London, and I can't enjoy it. Like, I have the freedom, the money to go and do nice things. And it's like, I won't go anywhere without him because I don't have the means and the safety to do so. So I start crying and crying. I say to Kez, I'm not happy and I want to go home. And that I'm like crying because I'm like, I don't want to leave you. Like, I know that things are just starting to get going for you here business-wise, but I can't stay here. So I'm crying my eyes out on a voice note to a friend. And I call my mom and I just burst into tears. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to leave the man that I love. And she's like, I'm so confused. Like, when we were just there, like, we were a bit shocked at everything that you'd been through and the fact that you were still having to get your house together because of everything Armpit did. And we were worried about you the first few days, but by the time we left, we were so happy because we'd never seen you this happy and, like, comfortable with a partner, and you and Kez, you seemed so good together. And I was like, exactly. That's why I'm crying, because I can't just leave and be like, oh, well, I love something here and I love something there. Like, I love this man, but I love my life in London. And if I was like, it'd be different if we were living on the beach and I could go and walk and I could roam around, I could go in the sea and whatever, but here there's nowhere for me to go. So what do I do? And my mom, like, bless her, she talks me through it and whatever. And I just decide, okay, I have to sit in the unknown. I have to sit in the void of not knowing what's going on and wait for the answer to become apparent. So I have to sit in the discomfort. And again, a lesson about manifestation is this often happens. If you want to manifest something big and juicy, sometimes you're going to have to sit in a really, really uncomfortable place of not knowing what the frick is going on. And that's what I had to do. So Kez has his meeting. He flies to Tobago and I'm here by myself and feeling into the fields. And basically he's going over there to have a meeting about a consultancy job that is, he's thinking, 6 months of him going back and forth. And that, you know, obviously we would both go back and forth. So we're thinking, well, this could be good. We'll get to spend a bit more time in Tobago. We'll break up being here. And when we're in Tobago, like, we're going to be right by the beach. So, you know, we'll stay in the hotel that he's working for. And that could be a really great way to make this life better. So that's what we think's happening. He's at the meeting. He tells me I'm going in the meeting in a couple of hours. So he calls me and he's been doing his meditations and whatever. So I'm like, cool. And meanwhile, I'm sitting on our little balcony And the guy who I think is the property manager of this property, like, asked me if Kez is around. I'm like, oh no, he's not here. And then he's like, okay, can you tell him to please call me tonight? Like, it's important. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. And then he comes back 2 seconds later and he's like, are you his wife? By wife, like, in Trinidad, you know, Asha, like, they say wife, they just mean like significant other. So I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay, can I speak to you instead? So I'm like, okay, this is weird. Like, I'm in the house by myself. Kez is in Tobago. Come downstairs. And he's a nice guy, but he's like, what's your arrangement with Armpit? And I'm like, well, actually, you know, this is what happened. Like, he's basically scammed Kez out of all his money. He owes us all this money and whatever. So, you know, we're waiting to get the money back. And he's like, right, because this property is 4 months behind on rent. And Armpit owes me 4 months rent. And I even paid, like, one of the month's rent or one of the month's bills and stuff because Armpit didn't pay them. So we're like, well, I'm like, what? Like, Armpit told me that he owned this property. And when all this shit came out and we knew about the bank and we knew like he doesn't own anything, but the brother then said like that it was his property. And the brother is someone everyone in the family seems to trust. So we believed him and we thought, yeah, it's typical Armpit, like saying it's his when it's not his, it's his brother's, talking big. So Kez is about to go into his meeting to find out if he's getting this contract for 6 months where our lives will be better, we'll get to travel and get to spend more time in Tobago instead of in this place where I'm uncomfortable. And I find out that the property we're in is 4 months behind on rent because Armpit lied. We thought we're living in family property and we're just staying here and waiting to get our money back. And we're living here because the person who owns it, the family that owns it, they owe us loads of money. And they've done us dirty. So we're just staying here until we get the money back. And we'd made that very clear. Like, give us our money back. They never asked us to leave or anything. We were like, give us our money back. And then we're going to go and find another place. We want to stay here, but we need our money back. And so we're just staying here in the meantime. We were going to move all the stuff we bought here into a new place. And we find out that it's a lie. We can't stay here. If we don't, we either pay rent. So the guy's like, you know, if you want to pay me rent, that's fine. But obviously, like, I'm going to get rid of his lease. And if you guys are part of his lease, then... So I'm just like, what? And then I'm like going crazy in my head. And I can't call Kes because he's about to go in his meeting and he's getting his mind right. And if I tell him this, I'm going to stress him out. So I'm like, what? I'm literally like, what the hell is going on? Like, the same day that we're finding out this new opportunity, this door basically closes. Because if I'm not happy here, why would we pay rent to stay here? Like, we were just staying here because... the person who owes us money owns this. So we're like, we'll stay in your property until you give us back your money. But now this has all changed and the circumstances have completely changed. On the week that I've decided I don't want to be here, the universe basically goes, okay, cool, don't be here, and creates a circumstance, a reason for us to move out. How crazy is this? Right? So I have to wait until after the meeting to discuss this with Kez because I don't want to trigger him. So he calls me and he says he's all excited that they've offered him a year contract, not a 6 month contract, a year contract in Tobago. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Like, am I going to say that I'm going to move home and that I'll come back and forth to visit him, or what am I going to do? But he says they've offered him a year contract and they don't want 6 months. They want him to do a year. And they'll pay him as if he's an employee, but it's not an employment, it's a consultancy, because at the end of the year he can leave because he said, you know, he wants to come back to the UK eventually as well, as do I. And they're offering full accommodation, living on the resort, for him and his partner, me. Plus all food, all beverages. This happens like an hour after we get told that basically we can either move out or pay rent to stay here. In a place we're not really that happy. So this is the like thing at the end of the like story. So we're moving to Tobago at the end of this week. I feel like I'm gonna cry. We're moving to Tobago at the end of this week, like a matter of weeks after I wished for it, and in a way that I never thought was possible. So like when we were in that hotel and I'm standing there, I'm like, this is what I thought it would be. Like, this is what I thought moving like here would be. And like, it's been a shit show and it's been crazy, and we have found the positive and like so much good has happened, like growth in my business, growth in my income, but our life and what we came here for, like, was so different to what we thought. And I was thinking, how are we going to do this? Like, maybe I'll just be able to, like, you know, earn enough money in my business where we can come and spend a week in Tobago each month or something. That I have to figure out, like, have to prioritize spending money on that. And then we get offered to live in Tobago in a beachfront. We're in a beautiful resort on the beach for a year with Kez's job. So he's getting the stability that he wanted. He's getting the income. He's getting the job that he wanted. Like, he's designing all of their menus. He's training all of their staff. He's doing the whole management of their food and beverages, which is a massive, massive success for him. Oh my God. And we're going to be living in Tobago on the beach in a resort. So I actually can't believe this is happening. And we were just there this weekend. So if you saw my stories, that's where we were. And we were just there visiting it and getting a feel for it. And we're going to move in next week. And I just can't believe it. So basically, we were there and Kez was doing meetings with them and stuff. And my friend Katie, she's going, yes, 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 Leela, Kez, Leela. Honestly, like, God. Oh my God. Asha missed the biggest part. Oh, Katie says she's actually going to cry. I actually, like, I'm trying not to cry. But the crazy thing is, like, when we were there, because they're doing all these renovations, they're redoing the whole hotel, I was the only guest. I was the only person. Like, obviously, I'm there with Kez, so I'm staff, but I'm obviously not expected to do anything. I'm there as a guest in the whole hotel. So when you saw me in the pool by myself, I've got the whole pool to myself, all the deck chairs to myself, every single part of the hotel. It's a big resort. It's not like a hotel, to myself. And for the first 8 weeks after we move in, it is going to be empty because they're trying not to bring in guests until all the renovations are done. So for the first 8 weeks of the time that we're going to be living there, we are living in an empty resort with all the pool, everything. Like, it's right on the beach. I walk down to the beach and I cannot believe this is happening. Like, this is the biggest manifestation to date, that we're going to be living there. We don't have to, it's rent free. We get our accommodation included, food and beverages included. Just 4 weeks, less than 4 weeks after I walked to Tobago, into the hotel in Tobago for the first time and was like, this is what I want. And I just didn't think, like, of course, how did I think that was going to happen? I just thought, you know, if I keep working hard and I save money, then maybe we can visit and we can visit once a month. But it just happened. And Asha says, and it's safe. Exactly. Like, when it's there, it's so different. Like, I walked around by myself. It's much safer. The energy is different. Also, they're used to foreigners. They don't want to mess with the foreigners because it's their industry. Like, it's how they make money. So it's a completely different vibe. And as Asha says, like, driving there is way less intense in Trinidad. 100%. Here, the driving is insane. I don't think, I did not do it and I would not. There, it's like completely, like, different. Everything about it is so different. And remember this guy that we met in Tobago when we stayed at his place? He wants me to do some stuff with him and his guests. And before, I would have had to fly over and whatever, but I could do it there, so I can have some in-person work and some in-person connection. And I'm going to be in a resort where, you know, there's a lot of people that I'll see again. So it's like, it feels like I'm going to be making friends. His sister's there and she lives there and she's like around my age. And it just feels like a completely different life. So that's the story. That's the crazy story to how we manifested the biggest manifestation of our lives yet. Something that literally, like we did say the other day, to be honest, this is for another podcast, but there's been a lot of inner stuff that comes up with this and resistance, which is crazy despite how amazing this is. And we were saying that people would like wish for this. It's like a dream thing to get to live somewhere like that for a year. And I'm going to get to go back and forth because I still, like, I do miss my family. I miss my home. I miss city life. I miss in-person work. I'd quite like to do some of that. So basically, I'm going to be here for like a few months and then I'm going to be able to go home for like, you know, probably going to go home for maybe up to 8 weeks at a time and then come back. And I'm going to get the best of both worlds, which is what I was saying to my mum that I wanted. I was like, I don't want Trinidad to be my home. Like, I want to visit him. And this is before I knew about Tobago, which I'm much, much happier to be there. I was like, I want to go back and forth, but I felt like leaving him here in our house, which we've been, it's a house together, and we've been through so much shit in this house, like, I felt like if I left and go home for like 3 months at a time, I felt like I didn't want to leave him with everything we went through here and with things not stable yet. But now that he's got this job, which he's so happy and he's, you know, he's so happy to have this and he deserves it and it's what he's great at. So he's got stability in terms of not just money, but also every day he has that structure. You need that for your mental health, especially after you go through something like that. Like, he's got that. He's got, like, he's going to be living in the resorts. He's not going to be alone. He's going to have his colleagues and his friends all there. Like, I feel like I can be there for 3 months, have an amazing holiday, like, resort time, spend time with him. Come home for, like, I would come home probably for, like, 8 weeks. I'd feel comfortable being home that bit longer and spending time with my friends and maybe doing some in-person coaching and just exploring city and doing the things I used to love. And then come back again and stay here for 3-4 months and have that, the best of both worlds. And I didn't think it would be, like, possible, but also the money we're going to save, like, can, you know, can happily put that towards flights and going back and forth. So that's the story. It's wild. I can't believe where we started and where we got to, but I honestly think that so many points, like, if we'd have just left, if we'd have just gone home when everything blew up, then we'd have never got this. We'd have never got this far. If Kez hadn't followed his sacra, and I guess if I hadn't prompted him to keep thinking about following his sacra, he wouldn't have got back into mixology, which led him to this. If he'd have taken the 9-to-5 job, he wouldn't have done the consultancy job where the person who hired him for that consultancy job recommended him for this one in Tobago. So many things wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for truly following the path that felt, you know, the inner part, intuition. So my lessons from this, before I wrap up, because it's been a long one, are you get to manifest when shit is messy. When all that crazy shit was going on, my business was growing and my income was growing more than it has in times where life has been much more simple. Also, the fact is there will be messy moments when your life is rejigging. And if you want to manifest something wildly different, there's going to be messy moments. And it's been messy. Even now, like, we're having to sell all our stuff and move out of here really quickly to get to Tobago in time. It's very last minute. But for it to change, for our lives to become so different so quickly, it takes a little bit of mess. And it's okay. You can manage the mess. So don't think that if shit's messy, you can't manifest. And don't think that everything has to be perfect. Because actually, you have to learn to handle discomfort to manifest big, crazy change. My next lesson would be trust your intuition and build a connection with it. I did not have a connection with my intuition before the pandemic, before COVID hit and took away my busy schedule and my busy life. And I was just like forced to just, that's when I started meditating and healing my nervous system and all this stuff. And before I used to say, I don't know, I don't believe in intuition. I think it's more like past experience, trauma, like scaring you and triggering you. Now I can be more, like, can disagree with that more. And I learned to trust myself so much more for this experience because I knew something wasn't right about Armpit from, like, the second time I met him. So I learned that, like, I could trust myself. And that's probably a part of the reason why my business grew and stuff is because I built a deeper level of self-trust and I shifted my identity. Trust your human design to lead you on the right path. Honestly, that has been huge. Huge, huge, huge. Following the sacral. Following the 4 in his profile has led him to get this huge job in Tobago. And lastly, paradigm and identity over everything. Everything disappeared for Kez, right? And for me, like, he felt like he was starting completely over from scratch. He has responsibilities. He felt shame, guilt, all those things. So what did he do? He focused on paradigm and identity. He started doing all these things that he'd never been into before. Obviously, he see me doing them, but he wasn't really interested. But he recognized, like, the universe is doing something here. I have to, like, I told him, like, yes, your circumstances are not looking good, but you have to make your inner world stronger than your outer world, which is also how I manifested change in my business, despite everything from the pandemic. So he started changing his identity and his paradigm, and then these crazy opportunities happened. So those are my lessons for this. Thank you for listening. I hope this, like, has been entertaining and you had some popcorn, because honestly, like, you cannot even write this stuff. But I also hope that it shows you the truth of manifestation, like the real messy moments behind it, the amazing ways that things can turn around, and also the way that it's not glamorous. And I hope you can see that, like, not everything is glossy. And I always try to share that in my content. You'll always see bits of that in my captions, but I feel like this is a chance to really express that and for you to understand the full story, because there's a lot. And I also want you to know that if you think, like, you know, you can't do it, and I sometimes worry that, like, my Instagram feed is glossy, as is everyone's, that you would just, if you're not someone who follows my stories and sees the messy moments and reads my captions, and you might think, oh, well, it's easy for her to do that because her life is perfect. Hopefully that can be put to bed now. You can see that it's far from perfect, and there's so much crazy shit that's been in the last year, but also in my life. And that's why I do what I do, because it's about transmuting the bad times into what you want. And that's what I would say I'm good at. I would not say I'm good at being perfect. I would say I'm good at knowing how to navigate the discomfort, the crazy shit, and still manifest and use that as manifestation, you know, gold. So yeah, thank you so much, Asha and Katie, for being here with me and all your comments. You'll make amazing friends in Tobago. I really hope so. And I know you've put me in contact with some people, so I need to follow up now that this is all settling down. And yeah, this is the real truth, as you said, Katie. So I hope you enjoyed. And a reminder that I also have the Manifest Magic Academy up and running now. It's in pre-sale. It's my 6-month program to manifest your big, juicy, life-changing moments. And that comes from true paradigm shifting and identity shifting, adopting a new paradigm, a new way of being, seeing yourself a different way. Of course, there's human design strategy in the later modules, because you need that to actually take the action. But it's basically my full program to manifest the big, juicy, life-changing, transformational things that you want. And basically, I feel like as I was telling this story, it shows you the full process and all the things that we did when we were in those hard times and how we managed to shift ourselves out of this. This is what you'll do. And inside, the girls are still going through it. It's not finished yet, the current cohort. They've already manifested crazy shit. So a pregnancy, one of the girls, she did her video at the beginning, and she was like, her before video, talking about what she wanted to manifest. And she said she wanted to manifest a family, she wanted to have a baby. And she already manifested it. She got pregnant during the program. We've had things like new dream job, getting an interview and the job offer within an hour. New brand new laptop, work paying for you to get a brand new MacBook, work paying for one of my grow girls inside to do this like course that she really wanted to do. And the next day she woke up to find her boss paid for the whole course. That lucky girl energy of things working out for you, even when some of your life was messy, it's things get to get better. And that's what happened with us, is that even though all of this happened, we were lucky because we didn't pay rent, right, for the first 6 months of being in this house. And even though it was so shit of the cousin and whatever, we thought that was because he owned it. He didn't own it, but it just manifested in a way that we were supported to be living here. We didn't have to run home. We didn't have to be homeless or even stay with family. We got to have our own house. I got to have my office without having to pay rent for it. Like, it's that energy of being able to manifest. My belief is everything always works out for me. That's the belief I want to embed for all the people that come into the Manifest Magic Academy. So it's in pre-sale right now, and you can DM me if you feel the pull to check out the link, because the pre-sale saving is £222. So you're saving a juicy, juicy chunk of your monthly payments. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here with me, you guys. I'm going to reshare this, of course, to the podcast and to Instagram in case you missed anything. But yeah, life is crazy. We're moving to freaking Tobago and we're going to live on the beach. I can't even. Okay, lots of love to you guys. Thank you for being here with me, and I'll see you soon. So I hope you loved this episode. Thank you for listening and spending your time with me. And I really hope that it is empowering you and has empowered you to go for those goals and to know that you are so capable of manifesting all that you desire and all of that soulful success in your life, in your business, in your relationships, in any aspect that you desire it in. And if you did enjoy this episode, if you did find it helpful, if you did have some light bulb moments, please take a screenshot, post it to your Instagram stories, and tag me at Leela Jasmine Sule. I would love to hear what you took away from the episode. I would love to hear how it helped you. But also, it would be amazing if you could share the message and pass this on to more grow girls who would benefit from this. And if you share it on your Instagram stories, then of course, all the grow girls in your community will also be able to listen and enjoy the goodness as well. Until next time, Grow Girls, goodbye.